Let's turn our Bibles this morning, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 20. We're going to read a few verses here, and then we're going over to Acts chapter 1. So John 20. Breaking into the chapter at verse number 19. John 20, verse number 19. Reading down to verse 23 and then going over to Acts 1. So John 20, verse 19, let us hear the word of God. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And then go over to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1, reading together from verse number 1. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let us unite our hearts together, please, in one moment's prayer, and whatever words ye use in these moments, use them now, just to prepare your own heart. You could take the words of the psalmist, Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things from thy law. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the stillness and quietness of this meeting house, we come again into thy presence in Jesus' blessed name. We thank thee for his blood that brings us nigh. We thank thee for the word of God which we have here in our own mother tongue. We thank thee for a book that points us to Christ, to the great Redeemer of the sinner, to the true King and the only head of the church. But, O God, we come at this juncture, and I confess before heaven and this gathered congregation my complete unworthiness and inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Forgive my sins, for they are many. Wash me in the blood of my Redeemer, and fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing. Grant that holy baptism which the Lord alone does give, the anointing to preach, and the anointing to hear with profit. Close us in with thyself. Bind the devil in every power of darkness. And let the blood of Christ prevail, for we ask it all in Jesus' holy and blessed name, and for God's eternal praise. Amen. Amen. The city is Jerusalem. Christ has died and risen again. The Lord Jesus has appeared to the disciples, the two on the Emmaus Road. Paul tells us also in 1 Corinthians 15 that after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Peter has now been restored after his denial, and the Lord has appeared to and encouraged his failing disciples once again. John 20, where we read this morning, in verse number 19, tells us that when Christ had appeared to the disciples, he finds them hiding for fear of the Jews. That just about sums up what it was like to be a follower of Christ in Jerusalem in those days. But then we read on down John 20, they are glad when they see the Lord. He speaks peace to their troubled soul. Those disciples, they have gathered, well, most of them. Thomas is not there on that occasion. Of course, 8 days later, the Lord appears to them again, and this time Thomas is there. However, the men that are gathered here, they are preachers, and preach they must do. A voice must be raised for Christ in Jerusalem, because as we break into these final chapters of John and Acts chapter 1, as we break in, there is no voice being raised in a bold manner for the Lord Jesus at that time. Certainly Joseph of Arimathea did go and beg for the body of the Lord before Pilate, but he was a secret disciple, as John 19 tells us. But really it is to this point in history, this point in Jerusalem, it is a city at this moment, as we read here John 20 and Acts 1, it is a city without a voice for truth. And the need of the hour in John 20 and Acts 1, indeed the need of the hour in every century, is always a voice for God and a voice for truth. That is the voice that is more important than any other voice. It is more important than a political voice. It is more important than an economic voice. The voice that the land always needs to hear is a voice for God and a voice for His truth. And thus, for the time that remains, I want to speak on a message from these two chapters. The church, a voice for God and for His truth. The church, a voice for God and for His truth. First thing I want to show you in this area, or in this time frame in which we have read this morning, sadly, though there was no voice at that moment for the Lord, there was a voice in Jerusalem. In fact, there were voices that were loud and clear. The first voice I want to show you is the Christ rejecter's voice. Go to John 18 with me, please. John 18, and look with me there at verse number 40. Some voices that were being raised loudly in those days. John 18, verse 40, and there we read, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. You see, Pilate, as you know, according to the custom of that day, was to release unto them a prisoner. But the voice is raised loud and clear for Barabbas. There's no desire for Christ. There's no voice for Christ. Oh yes, Christ our Lord, he only ever went about doing good. But human nature being what it was, well, we will have Barabbas. The Christ rejecter's voice was loud and clear. Look at John 19, verse 15. Just go down the next chapter. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And we could well add to what the chief priest said when it suited them. Because men and women understand something. For chief priests to cry out, we have no king but Caesar, showed their great enmity that they had against Christ and against his gospel. For a Jewish priest to say, we have no king but Caesar, knowing the hatred they had for Caesar and all things Roman, but for them to be given the choice, Christ or Caesar, and to cry, we have no king but Caesar, we see clearly the Christ rejecter's voice was loud and clear. There was another voice, sadly, that was heard in those days. There was the mocking voice. Go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Again, we're only setting it up here. Matthew 27. Look back with me now at verse 39. And here we are at Calvary. We're at that hill outside the city wall. We're on Golgotha's brow. Matthew 27:39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And verse 44 tells us, The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Oh dear people, see it. In that day, there's the Christ rejecter's voice loud and clear. There's the mocking voice. They have stripped the Lord of his raiment. They have plaited a crown of thorns on his head. And now they mock him at some of the voices that were being raised loud and clear. There's also the blasphemer's voice. Go up into Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. Look with me at verse number 63. Luke 22:63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him in the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. There's the Christ rejecter's voice. There's the mocking voice. There's the blasphemer's voice, all being heard across the city, across the nation. Let me give you another voice. There's a determined voice. Matthew 27, go there now. Matthew 27. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they have come to see Pilate about a little matter. Matthew 27, look at verse 64. Matthew 27:64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. You see what they're trying to do? They have decided they're going to try and stop the resurrection. They've already had their guards and their seals. They did all they could. And now they have the stone sealed. It's this determination in the hearts of these people. And you know what the determination was saying? We're not going back there. We've got rid of Jesus of Nazareth. And we don't want him. We're not going back to those days. Seal the stone. The voices are raised. The Christ rejecter's voice. The mocking voice. The blaspheming voice, this determined voice, we have had him, we have had enough of him, and we're not going back to the days of Jesus of Nazareth. Dear people, let's leave the first century a moment and come to the 21st century. And the same voices are being raised. The Christ rejecter's voice, the mocking voice, the blaspheming voice, and the determined voice. We're not going back to those days. We're not going back to holy Sabbaths. We're not going back to marriage just between man and a woman. We're not going back there. We have moved on. I tell you, dear people, the same voices are being raised across the world and across our nation. The Christ rejecters, the mocking voice, the blasphemer's voice, the determined voice. That was the voice that was being heard as we break in here this morning. What was the voice that needed to be heard? What about the voice that needed to be heard? Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look with me at verse number 8. Acts 1 verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Christ was saying there's going to be a voice raised for Christ. The church was going to speak. A voice was to be raised for the Savior. The gospel would be preached, sin confronted, God's truth set before the people. And Christ said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The church was to speak. Wasn't the ungodly was to raise the voice? The church was to speak, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And it was the need in Acts 1. It was the need in Noah's day, when Noah for those years preached that God's judgment was coming. It was the need in Acts 1. And I say to you today, it's the need in our day. You see, you cannot read the gospel narratives about the days of our Lord in Israel and not know it was volatile, corrupt, ungodly. But the voice that needed to be heard in that first century was a voice for God saying, this is what God says. And dear people, that is always the need in every generation, in every place. What saith the Lord? Oh yes, there's the Christ rejecter's voice, and there's the mocking voice, and there's the blasphemer's voice, and there's this determined voice. We're not going back there. But as it was in the first century, so it is today. As we stand on the verge of 2021, there is a voice that our nation needs more than any other voice. And it's the voice of God. What saith the Scriptures? What does the book teach on the subject? What saith the Scriptures on it? So there's the voice that was being heard, the Christ rejecter's voice, etc. There's the voice that needed to be heard. Ye are my witnesses. But under that thought of the voice that needed to be heard, where was it going to be heard at? Look again at Acts 1 verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Let's just pause there. What did that mean when the Lord brought up Jerusalem? Sometimes I think we can't truly comprehend what it meant to be a disciple of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem. I think John 20 puts a little light on it behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Jerusalem had already made it abundantly clear what they thought of Jesus Christ. Away with him. We'll have Barabbas. But what was Jerusalem to the disciples? Jerusalem, first of all, to the disciples, to the witnesses for the Lord, it was the scene of their great failure. It was the place of their great failure. They had all fled and failed the Lord here. Peter's denial was here. It was Jerusalem. And yet the Lord, when he comes to them, he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. It was the scene of their great failure. It was also the scene of the corrupt trial of our Lord and his crucifixion. The very place they were to preach was the city of the crucifixion, and they had to preach, you've crucified the Messiah. Their message, the crucified Christ. Who was the congregation? Who was the congregation they were to preach to? The Christ rejecter, the blasphemer, the mocker, the determined never to go back to those days prior to the crucifixion. That was the congregation. Turn with me to Acts 2 to show you that congregation. Acts 2 verse 36. And here's Peter now preaching. Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Do you see it, men and women? The congregation that Peter is preaching to that day is the same people that rejected him. It's the mocker. It's the blasphemer. It's the determined people that they weren't going back there. Because Peter says to them in verse 36, whom ye have crucified. The congregation was the Christ rejecters, the blasphemers, the mockers, the determined never to go back to those days. But dear people, understand it. Again, come forward. Leave the first century a moment. Come forward to the 21st century. The congregation's the same. Who needs to hear the gospel? Who needs to hear what God says on any subject? The Christ rejecter, the blasphemer, the mocker, the determined people. We're not going back there. Men and women, it's the same congregation. It's the same congregation. These determined Christ rejecters, as we all were. As we all were. You see, keep in mind, when Peter said this, or when the Lord said this to the church in Acts 1, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Christ was telling those people, you're going to be my witnesses, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, but understand, dear people, the last time anybody unsaved saw Christ was on the cross. No unsaved person ever saw Christ again after his death. He only ever met with believers. And he's telling these disciples, go into Jerusalem and tell the world, and we need to tell the world the same message. You have not seen the last of Jesus Christ. You have not seen the last of him. You'll all see him again. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And what Christ was telling the disciples was this: you tell them, they have not seen the last of me. They'll all meet me again. Whenever Peter, and going to the house of Cornelius, go there, go to Acts 10 a moment, please, just to show you this. Acts 10, Peter has come to the first Gentile congregation. He's in the home of Cornelius. And nobody tells them in verse number 42, Christ, the Savior. What did Christ tell those early disciples? Verse 42 of Acts 10, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Peter tells them, Christ told us, he commanded us before he ascended, you tell them, I'll see them at the judgment. You tell them, the world hasn't seen the last of me. I'll meet them all again. And therefore the Christ rejecter needed to repent, and the blasphemer needed to repent, and the mocker needed to repent, and the determined people who were determined, seal the stone, they needed to repent, because they had not seen the last of Jesus Christ. Now bring it forward to today. We live in a world, you know it and I know it, where all those voices are still being raised. But they need to hear, you will meet Jesus Christ one day. Everybody has to understand it, folks. The Lord commanded Peter. He went to the house of Cornelius, Acts 10. First Gentile congregation ever gathered. He didn't go with a little light message. He went and told them, Christ says, I'm to tell you, you'll meet me at the judgment. And let me just digress a moment to any unsaved in this meeting. In light of that, my friend, and we are so thankful that you are in this church service this morning, but in light of that, you need to come to Christ. You need to seek him in these moments. You need to seek him with all your heart. You need to know the joy of sins forgiven, because whether it be saint or whether it be sinner, we all meet Christ. We all meet him. After the crucifixion, nobody unsaved ever saw him throughout the next 40 days. He appeared to his church at different times, encouraged them, helped them, commissioned them. The voice that needed to be heard, the people, you're my witnesses, the place, Jerusalem. What about the power? Going back to Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I don't believe, as I've already said, I don't believe that it was possible for the early church to even go through the motions of religion. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord was saying, and only then you can be a witness unto me. To be a witness in Jerusalem, we've already shown you what sort of place it was. They needed the power of God. The Lord already commanded them, verse 4, to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But men and women understand, and young people, only when the power of God came upon the church there in the first century was the voice loud and clear raised. And I say to you all this morning, and I say to myself as a preacher, what do I need going into 2021? What does the Free Presbyterian denomination need going into 2021? We need the power of the Holy Ghost upon our souls, that a voice in the midst of all the voices that are raised, that there might be a loud, clear voice raised. Here's what God says. Here's what the book says. The power of the Holy Ghost. And I say, make it your prayer for yourself every day. Before you go out of the house, I know your minister preaches this, teaches this, but let's repeat it again. My heart, your heart, we need to hear it. Every day before we go out, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Don't let the flesh control me today. There's not one believer, I would venture to say, in this meeting this morning that doesn't know what it's like to have controlled situations by the flesh. And you know, and I know only too well, it's a disaster. Make it your prayer every day. As the Lord told the early church here, wait for the promise. And I say to you, claim the promise. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Give me the power of God. Give me that power upon my Christian life. We've got to move on. The voice that was being heard, the Christ rejecter's voice, etc. The voice that needed to be heard in Jerusalem, the power to do it, the power of the Holy Ghost. The voice that then was heard. The voice that then was heard. When the Holy Ghost comes in power upon a church or a believer, there's a great contrast happens. Go to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. Acts 2, verse 14. Acts 2, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse number 8. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto him. Now I say to you, men and women, and you already know this, what I'm about to say. Peter here is completely unrecognizable from what he was 40 or so days earlier. He's completely unrecognizable. Not physically. You look at him, he still looks the same. But something has happened to this man. Something has happened to this Christian. The power of God came upon him. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And look what happened. Go back to Acts 2:36. Look what happened. There's this verse 36. He's preaching. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter is now preaching for Christ. He's preaching about Christ. And he's telling the people, that same Jesus that ye have crucified. He's charging them with crucifying the Messiah. That same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What a contrast. What a contrast. But then there's not only a contrast when the Holy Ghost comes, there's conviction. Look at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. The word pricked, it means stabbed. They were mightily convicted of their sin. They were mightily troubled about what they had done. There's this conviction. And dear people, again, we could pray it. Ganindi 2021, Lord, give us mighty conviction of sin in our meetings. Convict the people of our country of sin. Convict our governments for passing laws of sin. Lord, send the Holy Ghost. There's a contrast. There's conviction. There's also conversions. Look at verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See the contrast? The Holy Ghost comes in great power. The preaching of the word comes with power. There's conviction of sin. There's conversions. It's a marvelous thing to read church history. Read about places that God visited. Places like we live in. And all of a sudden, for a season, God came, and widespread conviction, trouble of soul in the streets, thoughts of eternity and judgment gripping men's hearts with fear, men and women crying out, what must I do to be saved? Preachers working into the night season, pointing soul after soul after soul to Christ. I tell you this, dear people, it never happened without the Holy Ghost. There has never been a soul saved anywhere but was dealt with by the Holy Ghost. My friend, where you are, where you, that day you came to Christ, and I don't know where you were, but that day you came to Christ, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the eternal Godhead, he renewed your will. He convicted you of sin. He enabled you to embrace Christ freely offered in the gospel, as he did in the first century. 3,000 souls saved as Peter preached. There was a contrast. There was conviction. There was conversions. There's always something else, by the way, when the Holy Ghost moves. There was conflict. Look at Acts 4. Go there, please. Acts 4, verse 8. We already read this verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, but look now, go down to verse number 18. And here's the magistrates, and they've called for Peter and John, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You see it? Where you have the Holy Ghost moving in power, you have conviction, you have conversion, and you have conflict. Because the devil is sure to stir up trouble. He's sure to bring strife. And maybe, my brother or sister, you've come in here this morning and you've sensed the enemy near and roaring and attacking. My dear friend, it may be just because that God's with you and you're seeking to serve him and he's resisting you. You resist him. Stand in the faith, stand firm in Christ. You see, the church here in Acts 4, there was conviction, there was conversion, but there's conflict. Conflict. As the powers of darkness move, but dear people, understand this. When God the Holy Ghost is moving, oh, there may be conflict, but the will of God will be done. The Holy Ghost is God. Glorious in his attributes of omnipotence, all power, omniscience, all knowledge, omnipresent, unlimited in realms. Oh, my friend, the need of the hour, this final Sunday of 2020, a strange year, but the need of the hour in its final hours is this. A church to wait and pray and wait and pray
for the power of the Holy Ghost. Because in Acts and in John 20, there's also a priority here, and it's seen very clearly. You see, undoubtedly, whenever the Lord came to the early church, said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, ye shall receive power," undoubtedly there were a lot of things in Jerusalem and Israel in those days that needed sorted out. Undoubtedly. The legal system was an absolute sham. Corrupt. All seen in the crucifixion, the trial of our Lord. It was an absolute sham. There was hatred, strife. The Jews hated the Romans. The Romans hated the Jews. So there were things needing sorted. But understand this, dear people, that even the legal system had been sorted out, and even the Jews and the Romans set aside their enmity, it wouldn't have changed the spiritual atmosphere in Jerusalem one bit. And therefore, the Lord shows the priority. The priority in any generation, irrespective of what is going on in every other quarter, the priority is the power of the Holy Ghost upon the church. That's the need. You could have had the whole legal system sorted out. There wouldn't have been 3,000 souls saved in the day of Pentecost with that. The power of God was the need of the hour. And the need in 2020, as I have said, in its closing hours, going into 2021, the need for our nation, Northern Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, the need for the nation that we love is the power of the Holy Ghost upon the Church of Christ. That's the need of it. That's the need of the hour. The voice that was being raised, the Christ rejecter's voice, the voice that needed to be raised was a voice for truth. Then the voice that was raised, and here we've seen its priority, the need for that voice. Finally, when that voice is raised, as has happened, we look at it in history, but when that voice was raised, that voice could not be contained. Look at Acts 1 verse 8 again. Acts 1 verse 8. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world." Understand, dear people, the world was to receive the gospel. It was never in doubt. Christ said, "Ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then it'll be Judea, and then it'll be Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Christ reveals there the will of God for the world, that it receives the gospel being preached under the power of the Holy Ghost. You think of what happened. Acts 2, they're in Jerusalem. Acts 7, Stephen's martyred. The church was scattered, but they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Acts 10, we've already said, Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, that first Gentile congregation. And then whenever Paul was imprisoned, we get the epistles. The Reformation, the blood of the martyrs, is the seed of the church. Oh, dear people, understand, the world to this very moment is fulfilling this text. The world is receiving the gospel. The church is being built. Somewhere across this world today, souls are being brought from darkness into light. They're being saved. Then they're getting ready for heaven. Somewhere across this world today, Christ will come and he'll take people home in death. He'll take his church, he'll take some of them home to glory. It's all happening. But men and women, as we go into a new year, leaving 2020 behind us, here's the need of the hour. Lord, give the power of the Holy Ghost. Anoint the church of the firstborn. Give us power to speak for Christ.
As Matthew Henry said a very striking statement about the power of the Holy Ghost and praying for it. It needs to be repeated. We don't pray for the power of the Holy Ghost that we might look good. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost that we might be good and do good. That's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost. That the church might be good, that the church might do good. For as we see in this text, the world is and will receive the gospel. Christ will be believed on in the world. He will be accepted. He will be believed on. And men and women, when the last one for whom Christ died is saved, the trumpet sounding, and Christ will come back. Christ will come back for his bride. Are you ready? Backslider, maybe I speak to one this morning, cold of heart, far from God, maybe attending this church as years, but a coldness has come in. And my friend, even this morning, come again to Christ. Wash and be clean. Maybe I speak to one and you're not saved. You say, preacher, most of that message this morning was for the Christian. It was. You say, preacher, does the Bible say anything about me, a sinner, and the Holy Ghost? Yes, it does. Some of the most fearful words in the book. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Never belonged to Jesus. Never saved. Never redeemed. Never pardoned. And my dear friend, in light of those facts, never saved, never redeemed, never pardoned, every other situation fades into insignificance. But how merciful God has been to you, given you another year, spared you. Others have been taken away swiftly in 2020, and you're still here. My friend, come to Christ. Seek him today. Be saved. And know that when you seek him and he saves, that the Holy Ghost will enter. He'll be your comforter and guide. Come to Christ. People of God, I say it to my own heart as I say it to yours. Let's go into 2021 praying for the power of the Holy Ghost, pleading for a breath from heaven, pleading that God will visit us again and we will be witnesses unto him, raising a voice for God, a voice that silences all other voices, and a voice that will continue when other voices lie silent. May God give us grace. May God write his word on every heart.